from Quite the Thing Media. What does SMH mean? A movie podcast with Stephen Purdon, Jack Shaw, and Colin McMillan.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of What Does SMH Mean? Your new favourite movie podcast. My name is Stephen Purdon. And let's say a big hello to Jack Shaw and Colin McMillan who are joining me. How's it going, boys?
Magic, Stephen. Yourself? All good? All gravy?
All right, mate. Hi. Wee bit nervous? Yeah. You nervous? You excited? Wee bit buzzing? First episode?
Buzzing, mate. I've been doing this for podcasting for about 4 years now, so nervous? Not particularly. Mere buzzing, mate. To have a wee bit of,
you, Colin?
Wee bit of chat.
Yeah, looking forward to this one. It's like Jack, been doing it a similar length of time to him. Mm-hmm. First time doing it with, obviously, Scotland's own version of Ken Barlow, but very much looking forward to seeing how it goes and chatting about movies and that. It should be fun.
Right, Ken Barlow, right, we'll go, right, let's go with Ian Beale. At least he's a wee bit younger.
Ian Beale? Ken Barlow's more of a legend than Ian Beale, surely.
Think so.
Get fucking, I've heard these names getting bandied about, but I genuinely have no idea how you're talking about, man.
I stated at the start that your new favourite movie podcast we've kicked off with Ian Beale and Ken Barlow. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Folk have probably switched off already, would you think?
Yeah, that's it. They're gone. That's us peaked already. we had some grand plans for this first episode, didn't we? We picked a movie that we were going to talk about and really focus on for this episode. However, we reached out on Twitter and asked for other suggestions for movies that came out that year, just to kind of gauge a little bit of public reaction. And I think one person out of about 30 or 40 replies chose the same movie as us, so we changed tact a little bit, didn't we?
I was quite surprised, though. I mean, obviously, we were going with a certain year, 1994, we were going with a certain movie, which was a very, I don't know, it was quite a famous movie, wasn't it? Would you say Forrest Gump?
A massive movie, it really was.
Aye.
I thought somebody would have fucking mentioned it, but no. One person, I think. I can't name check the person. I forgot.
I think it was Tom Hanks.
Aye.
It was, I mean, it's a movie I remember for my childhood and stuff, but I remember when we were talking about this, and I'm going, right, surely a lot of people say that, but we might go with a film that's quite general, everybody's seen, but The movies that get mentioned, I mean, it got me excited. Like, different movies getting mentioned. I thought, well, we all thought, didn't we? Why don't we just go with that year instead of the one movie?
Well, that's it. 1994. There's almost an argument that 1994 was when fucking movies peaked, to be honest with you. You see the amount of movies that came out that year when people were throwing their suggestions in. I genuinely think real argument, like, that one of the best years ever for movies. And
say so.
To sort of back that up, like, The Shawshank Redemption was out in 1994, and that is generally regarded as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, film ever, especially on, like, IMDb.
I think IMDb is rated as the best movie ever.
That's number one. That is number one. So when that came out, that was mentioned a few times, and Forrest Gump, there's tons of movies. We will get to them. We're not going to speak about every movie that sort of was out there.
No, we'll speak about the good ones. And I think, obviously, Colin, we had a wee chat. Like, are you quite happy that we're not doing just Forrest Gump? Because I know you're no Tom Hanks' biggest fan.
Yeah, this always seems to shock people, or people just look at me like I'm an idiot.
I'm still very shocked. So let's just get it out there, mate. Let's have this. What's going on?
What's Tom Hanks ever done to you, man? He's never done anything. He's never engaged me in any particular work. The bigger thing for me is when I watch Tom Hanks on screen, I just see Tom Hanks being Tom Hanks. I think he's never ever really became a character the way like DiCaprio or somebody. When he's playing somebody, you believe he is that person.
Mate, Tom Forrest Hanks Gump's always a character.
Tom Hanks.
Forrest Gump.
Is he really?
I don't think Tom Hanks is the kind of guy that charges about sitting in benches talking about box of chocolates to folk, you know what I mean?
No, maybe not, but I think still when you're watching it, you're very aware all the time that you're watching Tom Hanks, whereas I think other better actors take you somewhere else. I have enjoyed some Tom Hanks films. I like Forrest Gump. I like Big. I like the one
Saving Private Ryan.
Never seen it. Never seen it.
That reaction, I could hear that exhalation from Stephen there.
Yeah, that was unhappiness. I like the one where he lands the plane as well. That was quite a recent one, which was quite good. And I liked his most recent one where he played the kids' TV host. Glory Stay in the Neighbourhood. That was a good film as well.
I've not seen that.
It's just a nice film. It's good. But I just think he's overrated. I don't think he's... I think people would put him on their sort of Mount Rushmore of actors, and I don't think he's anywhere near it.
I'm kind of in the middle a wee bit. I can see where Colin is coming from at points. Like, the last Tom Hanks film that I watched would have been Captain Phillips, I think, about the...
The pirates hijacking the ship.
I'm the captain now.
But to be very fair to Colin, I kind of thought they're Tom Hanks being Tom Hanks. I can kind of get behind what you're saying, Colin. I think he's a good actor. Like, I've never thought to myself he's heavy Mickey Mouse or anything like that. But I think it's a valid point that you make, that's very much that Tom Hanks kind of being Tom Hanks on screen.
I get it a wee bit, right? But I think if you look back at a lot of his movies, right, if you're looking at Forrest Gump and then you maybe look at Captain Phillips, that's two very different characters, and it's quite a deep range he's got there. And then you look at maybe Philadelphia and you look at Saving Private Ryan, you look at Big, you look at The Green Mile. I'm seeing different characters. I'm seeing a range, man. I'm seeing somebody that...
I'm gone there, man.
I'm going to be this guy. I'm going to be that. Yeah. I'm seeing... I do see it, man.
I see Tom Hanks working in a prison. I see Tom Hanks with the AIDS.
did you see Tom's story about the money?
Tom Hanks in the prison. Tom Hanks with the AIDS. Tom Hanks with a ship. It's just Tom Hanks.
I'm seeing Tom Hanks in the prison. I'm seeing Tom Hanks with the AIDS.
it never just makes you fully believe in the character, the way that some people, like proper, you just don't see the actor, you see the character. You never seem to do that. I'd say Gump's the closest.
Castaway.
I like the volleyball, old Wilson. Old Wilson has a good performance.
Wilson stole the show in that. He was definitely
a volleyball that leaved him the whole time.
Wilson couldn't have done what he'd done without Tom being there, man.
That's true. And Wilson's never wanted to do anything else in the cinema world either. That was his only credit. So it's
wasn't the greatest movie, but again, I'm going that for a Terminal.
Oh, we're
London
Airport for 5 days or something.
I'm never watching that. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aye.
That was a true story, I think, that film. Like, that was based on a real guy that did that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Which generally, I don't know about you guys, but if I'm watching a film and one of the first things that comes up on the screen is based on a true story, that makes me tune in probably about twice as much as normal. I don't know why. Love a true story.
Even if Tom Hanks is in it?
Yeah, that helps. That gives Tom Hanks a bit of a leg up for me if it's a true story. Start to believe it.
So, we're on 1994. So, Philadelphia came out in 1994. He won Best Actor at the Oscars for that. And then in 1995, he won Best Actor for Forrest Gump, so that must have come out near the end of the year for it to be up in the 95 awards. The Oscars was on the other night. I think it's absolutely no interest in it at all, and I think people are falling out with it. I think the viewership numbers have quadrupled over the last 3 or 4 years. Stephen, are you into the Oscars, mate, or do you think it's...
Do you know something? It's like... For me, I put it the same way I put a lot of football these days. It's like, it's lost its pizzazz, it's lost its passion, the romance for it. I used to really watch it, but now I'm just gone. I've got absolute zero interest in it now. I would rather sit and go on YouTube and watch the Oscars for like 1994. Do you know what I mean? Something like that, then watch the one. Because I've got zero interest in it now. I think it's... Like everyone else, it's kind of, I don't know the word I'm looking for. It's lost its soul a wee bit. Do you know what I mean?
I think I think we can maybe look at it, like, to get a little bit serious with a second, in the sense that society's changing. People are just getting sick of white studio executives picking and choosing who wins, basically. And I mean, I think there's 9,000 votes or 9,000 people that can vote towards films that get put up there. Something like 70% of them are over 65-year-old white guys still, and people are just, I give a fuck, man. Like, who cares about your opinion? And you know what, society's got more progressive and sort of better, if you want to call it that, the last couple of years. I think people are just like, nah, Kawete, fuck, man, it's garbage.
Aye.
Colin, you love it.
Yeah, it's really good. I stay up every year and watch it live. You guys know me quite well. I'm an alpha male, right? I've got a lovely wife, big strong guy and all that. But not only did I watch the Oscars, I watched the E! Coverage for 2 hours before it to see all the dresses and the outfits. So
you're like Cheryl for Curb Your Enthusiasm with our pals.
Living with Larry David would be the dream. But yeah, I love it. And I don't think too much. I think Jack's at a good point about the Academy and how it's all chosen by these people only and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. However, it's the biggest night for cinema. It's their Champions League final. It's their FA Cup final. And I like the month or two before it when all the nominations get released. And that's when I start working my way through all the Best Picture nominations and try to watch all that stuff.
Okay, how many of the Best Picture? Sorry for jumping in. How many of the Best Picture nominations have you seen this year? Because I hadn't heard of any of them, never mind watch any of them, mate.
I think I'd only seen two this year. I've seen Nomadland and I watched The Father. I might have watched another one. I did watch one other one. What was it? I can't remember now. There was definitely... I watched, you know, Posh Kenneth from Skins was in that film?
Yes.
About the Chicago Black Panthers. I watched that one as well and that was really good. So I've only watched three this year, to be fair. But cinemas have been closed. So
it could be a future episode where we sit and talk about Oscar nominated movies and the Oscar stuff. That could be section. Do you know what I mean? We could get to
films that were robbed.
And then you see, like, what was the whole? Was it last year, or the year before, the whole shambles with the Best Picture, like Parasite, and they messed it up. Where
that's nothing better than when
La La Land.
La La Land. That's so fucking cringe. It was brilliant.
But we've set a tone here where I'm quite into Tom Hanks, Colin, isn't he? I hate the Oscars. Colin loves them. That's a good start we've done here. It's a right good start.
I don't even know why I like you, man. I'm sure we'll find some common ground somewhere. I'm sure.
Aye, we will definitely, mate. Definitely. But let's go back to what we're on talking about, like 1994. Like, it is a golden year, I think, when you look at it. I'm looking at the list in front of me now again, and it's like, it's just powerhouse movie after powerhouse movie. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's unreal, isn't it?
It really is. Like, mention Shawshank.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, including one of your pals, mate, Ewan Cameron, was very much of the opinion that Pulp Fiction was the best film of that year.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on that,
mate?
Well,
up there.
Yeah.
I remember I used to do a panel with Des McLean, the comedian. But he would absolutely recite every line for the Shawshank Redemption every day. Now, I love the Shawshank Redemption. I think it's an absolute, it is a masterpiece. But for me, no many films, in my opinion, come close to Pulp Fiction. And Shawshank, in my opinion, certainly is. Pulp Fiction's ahead of it, in my opinion. I just think Pulp Fiction is something, when I first seen it as a wee guy, I think I was only, must have been about 12 or something, 13, when I first seen it. Mm. And I was just like, wow, this is like, at first when I watched it, I was, what the fuck am I watching here? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's going on? Because it's all out of sync in the story, then it just all kind of, just, for me, it is an absolute masterpiece in filmmaking and writing.
I would rank Pulp Fiction above Shawshank Redemption. If somebody said to me, you need to watch one of these films now, I would pick Pulp Fiction. I've not actually watched it in probably about 10 years, so I need to take a dive back into it and take a gander, because I definitely think it's up there as well, and I think Ewan was right to very much say there's no argument there. But if there was no argument now, we wouldn't have much of a podcast we'd be calling.
Exactly.
We're going to discuss other people as well. So,
obviously, he's right. You know what I mean? But we don't say that too often. That you're
right. Have any of you guys seen the Pulp Fiction cut where it's put in chronological order?
I've heard about it. I've never watched it.
It was a DVD extra and like a special edition, I think, DVD that came out of it. And it's a really interesting watch because it's obviously the same film, but just in order, it's really strange watching it, especially because you're used to the odd order so well. But it's worth watching.
Aye.
Tom Dale, then, what do you think about him? Like, did he peak then? Because there's been some garbage he's released over the years, as well as some
Tarantino.
Absolute bangers, and then absolute garbage as well. Sometimes, I think.
I'm not sure. Like, other than the Grindhouse double bill that he did, I think it was Grindhouse and something else. I would probably go as far as say that's his only miss. I've enjoyed pretty much everything he's done, to be fair.
I'm a massive Tarantino fan. I kind of call him agree. We agree on something, mate.
Wow, excellent. Well, there'll be an episode two, guys. Sure.
<That's right. laughs> I'm a big fan of Tarantino, but he has done a few. For me, he's the type of director where I look at him and I go, he's got the right to self-indulge. Where I think I sometimes hate watching something where somebody is self-indulging, but I think he's paid his dues. He's done enough class movies. He's wrote enough. I mean, he wrote True Romance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're going that. You watch that back in the day and that, and you go, whoever wrote this is a genius. And you can see Tarantino-esque things in it. Do you know what I mean? And you're like, the guy is a genius. But I think, I don't know, what is the one? I'm trying to find it now. The Hateful Eight.
Yeah, it wasn't massive. But Django, he done the cowboy thing with Django, and I thought that was brilliant, man.
I liked Django. Yeah. I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was...
Loved it.
DiCaprio and Brad Pitt.
Still not watched it yet, man.
They're electric, isn't it, Colin?
It's tremendous. The whole thing is beautifully shot. It just, it's a proper, it's almost like a love affair to Hollywood in some ways, and that's maybe the wankiest thing I'll ever say, but that is what it looks like, and...
I can tell you've been watching Oscars, mate, with part of it, right?
I probably say DiCaprio's my favourite actor, but yeah. Brad Pitt's not far behind him either, and seeing the two of them in that film are brilliant together.
Mate, that's the thing, you're watching it, I'm obsessed with DiCaprio, but I think Brad Pitt kind of edges it in that movie for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, the two of them are dynamite, but Brad Pitt is like, I've always really rated Brad Pitt. I think he's brilliant, but in that movie, I'm going, wow, man, this guy is just, he's different class.
I think there's more about him in that film. In that film, his characters get more about him than Brad Pitt, than DiCaprio's does, but he's just you can't watch him and not just think you're the coolest guy that ever lived, aren't you?
Yeah. They're Inglourious Basterds as well, right? Which is absolutely fantastic. And a shout out to Pie Sports, by the way. When you were asking for films for 1994. Love Your Pies, guys. They are magic, right? But look, a wee bit slow in the uptake here. They did suggest Inglourious Basterds. So good shout, man. Good film. But just out by about 15, 20 odd year.
We'll get to that, though, in another episode, because it is an amazing movie. It's
fantastic. We could probably do a whole Tarantino episode as well, to be perfectly honest with you. Maybe I jumped the gun a wee bit, be saying a lot of garbage. Like, Death Proof, Grindhouse, not massive fans, The Hateful Eight. I suppose after that, you're kind of shooting in the high, let's say the high 80s, 90s percent-wise for hits, I suppose. So maybe it was a wee bit unfair when I was saying... a lot of junk, maybe two or three.
You know, another one that he was involved in, I don't think he directed, I think he wrote parts of it and he acted in it, that I just love, is A Dust Till Dawn. I think it's a fantastic film.
It's
brilliant.
It totally comes out of the blue, that bit with all the fucking vampires.
It just changes.
It's an amazing dance sequence from Salma Hayek. Class, man. It's one of the best I've ever seen in my life, man. But it's a decent movie, man. I mean, even when he has wee cameos, even in Pulp Fiction, the whole scene about the coffee, that's just, I mean, Bonnie goes shopping, she buys shit. When I go shopping, I buy the expensive gourmet coffee, because when I drink my coffee, I want to taste it. All that, that's just genius. And that's the thing with Pulp Fiction that got me. Like, I'm a bit of a geek, right? I like to fucking read song lyrics and blah, 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 all that stuff.
CD case, aye, reading it, learning
it. I was that wee guy going to Avalanche Records with doing and spending my first wage on CDs and on the way home on the bus reading the CD book. You know what I mean? I was that wee guy. But, like, I don't know, like, just watching Pulp Fiction, it's just, a lot of it is just run-of-the-mill, normal conversations. But for some reason... Like Samuel Jackson and John Travolta, just sitting talking about cheeseburgers.
Yeah,
foot massage, talking about a foot massage, all that stuff. It's just, it's so cool. And even earlier stuff when he touched on it with Reservoir Dogs, where they're all sitting on a table talking about tipping waitresses and all that stuff. He's always dialogue heavy, which a lot of people want to see action. They want to see things getting blew up right away. I want to see good dialogue and I want to listen to it. And Tarantino's a master of that.
Yeah, just before we take, we'll take a wee break in a minute or two, but just before we get there, Pulp Fiction released in South Korea, Japan, and Slovakia before it got its release in America. And right, the film contains 265 fucks, basically. Right, so we've spoke about this. We had you on our show on another network, Stephen, and we spoke about this briefly. In this league table of the fuck bird table, we'll call it, there is a film that sneaks in at round about number three or four in that. And it's by Ken Loach. And as a film you were in, Sweet 16, mate. 313 fucks or variations of the word in that film. What was that like? What was that like working with somebody like Ken Loach, mate? Like, I bet you know a wee bit about that.
Mate, honestly, like, I wish... It's all a bit of a blur because I was very young. But I remember going on set the very first... I think it was only there one or two days. But it was so, like, the way I work in the BBC and stuff now, it's such a different world working there, working with Ken Loach, because he's just, you go and say, still stick to the script, but he's not as, he's like, just, he wants everything so natural, and he just, he shot everything in order as well, which is very unheard of. And you're just like, the guy was just, you could almost be mistaken for just, he's just a guy there standing watching a film getting made, because he's so relaxed and just puts you at ease in Disney. But the guy, he's a genius. I mean, he's made some crack movies, but it was a, I would love to go back and watch my younger self on the set and see what I was like, because it's all a bit of a blur to me. It's that long ago, but
like, you didn't really watch yourself in the film, mate. You were in it for a couple of seconds.
I know, you did, because if you blink, you're gone, mate. Now my nose is broken, I'm away down the coast again or whatever. But no, it was, I mean, just to, even the process building up to it, the audition process and stuff, like, I remember, I think I mentioned on the other podcast when I was talking to two of you, like, one of the auditions I went into, you just kind of, when I got, I don't know, you get a call back, and then one of the auditions I went to, he just sat and looked out the window. And you're saying you're doing the scenes, and I think it was me and Compton doing the audition, and you're looking at each other going, what's he doing? He's just sitting looking at the window. And you're trying to act your absolute arse off to get the main part in his movie, do you know what I mean? But it's just his ear for stuff and that. And when I didn't get the part, he was so nice enough to talk to me about it on set, and he says, look, it was nothing.
Did the last two were you, mate? Aye.
Last two, it was me and Martin doing the last two, mate. Aye. I mean, obviously, Martin's not really done much since then, but not me, I mean,
it's like, you're like Gareth Gates and Will Young, man, the two of you.
Yeah. Your fucking references, by the way, right? I think that's time. That's definitely time.
Who would your last two be? I can't think of a better option for the last two.
Oh, come in, shite yourself, man. Right, we'll go for a break, right?
So, back, and another film from 1994, which I actually quite enjoy. I've not seen it for a while. And to be honest, it's one of those ones where I'm not sure I do want to see it again. You know, you've got films that you really, really enjoy, but you've not seen them for so long, you're worried about watching them again and not liking them anymore, just because you're a bit older and you're a bit wiser and stuff like that. And for me, it's Mrs. Doubtfire. I remember going to see that in the cinema and literally crying my laughter. I'll never forget that. One of the main jokes, which was... he's talking about how the drink killed his husband. Always an alcoholic. No, he get run over by a Budweiser truck. And to me, 10 or 11 years old, that was the best joke I'd ever heard in the whole world. I think looking back, that film's a little bit, it's probably not dated all that well in terms of a guy dressing up as a woman and
keeping his old house
and getting close to his kids when he's legally not supposed to and stuff like that. But it was a good laugh.
It was on Channel 5 about a year ago. I didn't watch it all, but you know how when you're flicking through and something pops up? I think that's a sign of a good film. I said it before, like, if you're flicking, you can kind of watch it for anywhere. and I watched the last sort of hour of Mrs. Doubtfire and had a few laughs, mate. It's kind of, I wasn't really put off, because I know what you mean about certain films. So
there is films that you do, you switch on, like Colin's saying, and you go, I loved this when I was younger, and then you go, that happened, end it. That is just
fucking garbage. I mean,
but I've not seen Mrs. Doubtfire in a while, but I think a lot of things with Robin Williams, man. The guy was a bit of a genius as well, do you know what I mean? He's like, he's a really good actor, he was class, but it's one of the films. I remember the famous thing where he's having the kids' party, isn't he? And it's like, jump around, the song's on, and he's in the house and all that, and he's jumping about. I remember there's a wee guy going, this guy's the coolest guy on the planet, man, doing that with his Wayne's not, do you know what I mean? But I would like to go back and see. I remember the thing with his brother makes the kind of face and all that, and it falls out the window.
And the truck runs it up.
No, it's a great, again, it's a really good film when you look at that year, 1994, that's still, I didn't even think of that, and I'm thinking 1994, but that's still, it's a really, really good film.
Not everybody agrees, right? What I like to do, I quite like to look at sort of
one-star reviews.
Just to see people's fucking wild opinions. You can find them on whatdoessmhmean.com. There's a sort of blog there, and you can look at, it's all films from the 90s, I'll be honest with you, and it's not quite done yet. But Mrs. Doubtfire, we've got this one-star review I quite enjoyed. This is sentimental nonsense. Attempts at humour are pathetic. The plot is preposterous. I don't get this when people leave reviews. Literally just gives you a plot outline that I'm not going to read. But it's the base signs it off. As if none of them would have noticed that it's him! ! Fuck, right, see you. You prick, like, taking the time out of your day to write that big, massive thing, and then as if none of them would notice. It's a fucking film. Like, don't take it too seriously. It's Robin Williams dressing up as a fucking woman, dancing about, sliding about in his socks.
Exactly. It's like some things, there's movies you just need to leave your brain at the door and just sit back and have a laugh.
This is one of them.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, no, everything is pure Shakespeare meant to make sense, son. It's just fun.
That's it. Mrs. Doubtfire was fun. But that guy, whoever that prick was, did not agree, basically. Any other suggestions sort of kicking about here, Colin, from...
There is one. And it was a nice segue, actually, what you said about it being fun, because one, which I remember being a hell of a lot of fun back then, but I have seen more recently, and it's absolutely horrendous, is Dumb and Dumber.
Was a massive year for Jim Carrey, was it not? Because did he not have The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, and Ace Ventura on the 1 year?
Yeah, so I would argue that that's not even his best film in 1994. Like, I would go Ace Ventura, The Mask, and then Dumb and Dumber at the bottom. Not a fan of it, and it gets suggested by quite a few people, including one of our pals, Andy McGrillen from that UFO podcast. He suggested it and was a bit pissed off, and I said, Away you pop, man. It's not.
I don't think
I even enjoyed it when I was young. You know,
I think I did because I was immature and that kind of human. It was a good thing when I was 10 and 11. But I do think people that wax lyrical about it now and say it's so good and all that, I don't think they've watched it in a long time. Yeah,
no, they're ones for the watching. Some people that
I know. But Andy believes in aliens, so
I'm not really into Jim Carrey, to be honest, man. I never was really one for again, like I said, I was a geek when I was younger. When these films came out, my mates are all going, this is hilarious, not that, and I'm happy. I'm about to watch The Godfather. But I mean, I'm pure I'm a bit, but it was all right. It wasn't it's nothing I'm going to sit and go, I hated it or I loved it. It was just one of the films when I seen it, I thought, that's all right.
Certain films have got that, just a place in your memory or heart, even if you want to be a bit of a wank about it. Ace Ventura was, I think, the first film that I ever went to see as a sort of 9-10 year old by myself or just with a pal, you know. My ma took us to the cinema, and there's a wee cinema just outside Glasgow, used to be a small cinema. Do you remember it, Colin, on the Paisley Road West, just in Paisley? It's a wee two screen cinema, basically.
Maybe
we'll
look at
them
as that was the ABC at Muir End. That was my
equivalent of it. Aye, so took there. My took us, picked us up. We might even get the bus back, I mean. But that's the kind of reason why that holds strong. So I think, like when you're trying to judge films, you've got to kind of think about the situation, what it meant to you at the time, and that's why they sort of stick by you. Whereas Dumb and Dumber, I don't think I watched it when I was at that age. Mm-hmm. So maybe a couple of years later, when we're maybe 15, 16, my pal's like, oh, you need to watch this. Oh, look, there's a fucking a van that's hairy and looks like a dog. Pish. I was not enamoured by it, but some people really fucking stand by it.
Some people still love it. They love it.
Yeah. I'm not a fan at all, but I will defend Jim Carrey a wee bit, Stephen. I think he's great. I think he's done some really good funny stuff, but also some proper good serious stuff as well.
It has.
The Truman Show is amazing.
Truman Show is a really good movie, man. As I've just never, I don't know, I've never been his biggest fan. I don't know why. I've just never really, I don't know. A lot of people I can see. Truman Show, what was the other one he done?
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Aye.
Don't like that film.
He did Man in the Moon as well, which was quite good. Man in the Moon.
Fucking brilliant film, actually. Aye. Yeah, man.
That's a really good film.
That's excellent.
Absolutely. Speaking of brilliant films, man.
Mm-hmm.
We ink in 1994 as well. What about Street Fighter?
It's no Time Cop. I'll see that, right?
Fucking Kelly Minogue.
Jean-Claude Van Damme's a fucking interesting character, man. Do you know he used to be a bouncer for Chuck Norris? Chuck Norris is hard as fuck.
Who do you think would win this square goal with A2 in their day, in their prime?
Well, you'd imagine that Chuck thought, I better get this hard nut in. So I think Jean-Claude Van Damme would kick fucking talking about that, Jean-Claude Van Damme offered Steven Seagal a square go at Sylvester Stallone's one night, like that. Right, come ahead, mate.
Do you think that's when the Expendables was
orientated for? Steven shat himself, but I'd imagine.
Aye, I think he would shit himself with Van Damme.
You would shit
especially if Van Damme had a few of his fucking Coors Lights, man. You know what I mean? Like, fucking.
I was a fan of Van Damme growing up, mate. He was just along with like Arnie, an action hero as a 10, 11 year old, and Jean-Claude Van Damme is up there with like sort of Bloodsport and stuff like that where he started.
Aye, kickboxing that. Like before that, getting into my fucking serious mode of The Godfather, Once Upon a Time in America, Goodfellas, all that, I was obsessed with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Used to watch Time Cop, Bloodsport, Kickboxer.
Sudden Death, there was all sorts of
Death Warrant, that was another one. Hard Target, Nowhere to Run, all that stuff, man. Like, I was obsessed with the guy, but then I don't know, I just realised, man, this guy's not that good, really.
He's not very good, no, he's really fucking splits.
this is going to probably upset you both, particularly you, Stephen, right? But I genuinely don't think I've seen a Jean-Claude Van Damme film.
Any of them? What the fuck? What is wrong with him?
All the stuff you were just saying was just noises. Like, I did not know what they were.
Mate, what I've seen him in Friends. Right? Fucking screwball, man. Like, I don't... Oh, like, surely as a 10-year-old child...
Do you never want to watch Bloodsport or Kickboxer, man, when you're younger?
No. Like, watch the UFC if you want to see that. That's like,
Street Fighter? Did you even watch Street Fighter?
No, it had Kelly Minogue in it. Like, what was the point?
Oh, surely that was the only reason you'd fucking watch it.
I was always a Mortal Kombat man anyway. Street Fighter, I wasn't into it at all.
I remember... obsessed with the game Street Fighter, and then the movie came out, and I remember talking myself into it was good. In my head, I'm going, that was just one pile of shite. But in my head, I'm going, that's Street Fighter, man.
A game of Street Fighter lasts 30 seconds. How can they make a film out of
They made a sequel.
Oh, fuck, did they? I never even knew that.
Yeah. Aye, that came out in the same year as well. Street Fighter 2 came out, I think.
Was the same year? 1984. Fucking hell.
In the same year, I think it did. Let me double check this. Street Fighter 2, no, it was the animated movie, but Street Fighter 2, the animated movie came out in 1984, off the back of the launch of the live action, all singing, all dancing, Jean-Claude Van Damme and Kelly Minogue. Epic.
That's pretty
epic. Was there anybody else famous in it? Who was Ryu? Who was Ken? Who was Blanka?
I'm going to go through. I thought you were a Mortal Kombat man. You're naming all the guys now.
Big Stretchy Nelson, who was he?
The dad from Adam's Family was the baddie in it. Raul.
Zangief? No. Aye, Raul Julia.
Aye, he was the guy with the hat.
Aye.
M. Bison.
Aye. And you had Chun-Li, Damien Chapa played Ken.
Don't know how long he's in the last so far.
Kylie Minogue played Cammy. Ryu was played by a man called Baron Mann. Dal Sim was Roshan Seth.
I think the short answer is no. Colin,
a bunch of nobodies, man.
I'm trying to think who played Blanca. There we go.
Walk on E.
Robert Mamone played Blanca. There you go.
Oh, Rab.
Aye, big Rab. Big Rab played Blanca. But on IMDb, I'm looking at it now. It's got a very. It's got, the rating is. It's 4 out of 10.
4? Oh, that's bad, man. Like, I was going to go for the animated.
The animated movie, Street Fighter 2, that came out the same year, the animated movie. I'm thinking maybe this came out after, and I went, look, this is how you do it. That's get 7.3. I think they've seen the movie, man. The amount of money you've just spunked on that. This is how you do it. You know what I mean?
I think a 6 out of 10 is my limit. I don't think I'd even watch something below that, I think.
Mate, I'm with you. Me and my missus, right? If Nicholas says to me, right, I heard about this thing, I immediately go to IMDb. See if it's
I'm bad to do that as well.
Oh, yeah. See if it is like a 6 or something. I'm not wasting my time with it. See,
I think 6.8 is my turning point.
7 is my point. 7, my cutoff point, man. I'm at a 7. If it's lower than a 7, I might put it on there because I'm tired. But I'm not, do you know what I mean? I'm not fully invested in it, man.
No, I get that. That makes sense.
Right. IMDb is
you live in a world now, though, where you've got movies, you've got every TV box set you can think of. There's things are fighting for your attention. So why would you watch a 6 out of 10 or a 5 out of 10? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, I'm going to throw another 1994 one out there, right, that I watched when I was a wee guy and I loved. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if you've seen it. Once Were Warriors.
Right. Am I getting mixed up? Is that the gangs? And
no, it's not the Warriors.
No,
that's just
the Warriors.
This is set,
guys, I'm telling you, man, go and watch this movie, right? It's very low budget, set in New Zealand, touches on domestic abuse.
Oh, fuck, I have seen it, man, with the Maoris.
It's brutal. Such a great movie, man.
Oh, mate.
Colin, get a watch, mate. Honestly, it's so good.
I'll go into that. Mm-hmm.
Without sounding like a pure wank, it's a pure underrated gem, honestly. 7.9, it's such a good film.
It's really brutal. Like, he fucking smacks his missus about and all sorts. He's a horrible guy in it. Yes, when you started describing it then, mate, it came back to me. Somebody put me onto that when I was, again, probably 16, 17. The same guy that tried to get me to watch fucking Dumb and Dumber, I think. So it was hit and miss for that boy.
Guy's got a wide range, man, gone from Once Were Warriors to Dumb and Dumber.
Exactly.
Oh man, I love that movie. I'm going to watch it again though. When I was looking at movies for 1994 and that cropped up, I was like, that is just, Colin, watch it, man. It's such a good film, man.
I just looked at a quick synopsis and stuff. It's not turned me off it, so there's a good chance that I'll watch it at some point, I think, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Definitely get a bash, man. Definitely. Right, troops, touching back on 1994, one of the most mentioned movies of that year on social media, when we put this out, was another gem of a movie, Clerks. It is a gem. It's like a dialogue heavy. It's right up my street. I love that movie.
Now, I am 35, and this came out, it was 9, and Kevin Smith movie, obviously, kind of passed me by as a youngster. I have watched it once. But being this age, the first time I was sort of introduced to that whole Kevin Smith universe, you know, if Marvel's got one, Kevin Smith can have one, was Jane Silent Bob, which was the fourth or fifth film in that series.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. And once I'd seen that, again, used to smoke a bit of grass when I was younger, a little tearaway, got into that a little bit, went back and watched Clerks, and it's just a certain type of comedy that I don't know if I was too young to get or just appreciate, to be honest with you. So that whole genre, that whole universe of Kevin Smith is obviously a fucking extremely talented writer, podcast host and stuff like that himself. So if he's listening, give us a shout. But what were you calling, mate? Like, Clerks, does that ring true?
There's only one thing I can really say about Clerks, that is that I've never seen it. So,
have you seen it's any of the sort of all that or anything like that? No.
No, I think it was nominated for the best Oscar that year, so it never really came across with
it. Tom Hanks film, mate. You fucking, so, like, you need to make your mind up here. Do you want to watch Oscar nominated Tom Hanks movies or be a wee wank?
I can honestly see Colin in the future on the red carpet at the Oscars with Tom Hanks.
I'll sell out for Tom Hanks with that red carpet. Don't worry, I'll become
fucking as long as you get an RT for Tom Hanks. Colin would be there.
I think the thing with Clerks put me off it was the whole stoner humour thing was never really my bag ever. Mm-hmm. And by the time it came out, I wasn't interested. At the age where most people were into that sort of stuff, I wasn't interested. And as an adult, I was never going to go back to it. So it just wasn't, it's just not my bag.
No, it's definitely an acquired taste. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I've watched it a couple of times in my adult years and I still appreciate it. It's really good. But I look at it and go, it's not for everybody. Do you know what I mean? There is people who's going to watch Clerks. If I suggest, go and watch it to some of my mates, they'll watch and come back and go, that was pish. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll know.
Do you think people that are suggesting this are trying to be more highbrow than they need to be? You know what I mean? Instead of thinking, I fucking loved True Lies or whatever. Like, that was written next for. Instead of going there, they're going, right, I'm going,
I'm going for that because it's
more
they
niche.
Definitely, 100% agree with that. When really, you watch True Lies about 40 times in a wee game. I was obsessed with Jamie Lee Curtis a wee bit when I was younger, man.
Oh, I suppose I, right. Obviously, there's a dancing scene, right, where she's dancing about, she slicks her hair back. That was her own underwear she took in for that, by the way. She brought her own wardrobe in. I chugged her out like mad when I was a wee guy, man. Like, 100 mile an hour, man. Like, oh, it's so good. I just ripped the head off it like that. Oh, Jamie. So there we are. People know that about me.
Mate, that story was
enough, but the old Jamie was that extra. Wow. Unless I just found out the other day it's our own wardrobe. So here, I might revisit it. You never know. You never know. We'll wait and see.
I remember, what was it called, man? I'm trying to find it when I was younger.
Fish called Wanda.
It's the one with Trading Places. She's getting changed. She's getting the wiggle.
Does she fuck? I need to know that.
She's getting changed when I was a wee guy. And oh, man. I never uttered the words, oh, Jamie, though. But.
First film, and also, just before, £100 million budget.
I just interrupted any listeners that are listening in. What was the first movie you chugged over? Use hashtag OJamie and let us know, right?
OJamie.
What did you say? 100 million? The budget for that was over 100 million?
It's the first film to have a budget of over $100 million.
Oof!
True Lies.
Wow, man.
Yeah. There you are, a wee tidbit of go. Info after a wee tidbit of my life as a youngster.
Yes. Fair enough, man. But moving on from OJamie, looking at 1994 as a whole, Colin, I'll come to you first, mate. Your favourite movie of 1994?
Oh, it's such a hard one because there's... So I shouldn't say that after what Jack was just talking about, but there was a lot of good ones. I think probably the best film is probably Pulp Fiction. However, if you ask me to watch a film right now, I'd actually be tempted to watch True Lies because it's been a while since I've seen it.
I know you would.
As long as you've not watched it,
48 minutes in, mate, just skip to that. But
I think, to be honest, the last 40 minutes or so of this podcast have been a bit of a waste of time because we established at the start it's Shawshank and it's Pulp Fiction, right? And I'd probably say Pulp Fiction does just edge it, just about. For me,
To be boring is probably Pulp Fiction. Like I said, don't agree with you and Cameron too much or whatever, but don't agree with Colin too much. But yeah, it's probably that probably takes the biscuit, no the soggy biscuit or nothing, but it probably takes the prize of what does SMH means first ever, what's the best film of that year awards.
Pulp Fiction, 100%, closely followed by Street Fighter.
Ten Cop.
Wonderful.
The one where Tom Hanks is getting age, that one.
We'll move on now from films from 1984, and we'll maybe touch a little bit on Scottish films. But before we do that,
a word from our sponsor, G4 Claims.
You've probably heard the lines before. Have you been involved in an accident? Were you the passenger? Here's something you might not have heard. G4 Claims can help you with your not-at-fault claim for free. They supply a like-for-like replacement vehicle. They can set up your injury claim and don't take a percentage. All your compensation comes to you. G4 Claims services are free, with charges going to the at-fault insurer. Not-at-fault claims, on your side. Call us on 01698 767172.
So, Scottish films, guys. I wanted to include this in episode one because the first almost falling out we had during the planning process for these pods was when I discovered that Stephen is not a massive fan of Gregory's Girl, which to me is the greatest Scottish film of all time. It's just wonderful. And I don't understand the ending. It doesn't believe that.
It's a very, very unpopular opinion I've got, and people will probably chin me for it, give me abuse for it. But I don't know what it was, man. Like, growing up, being interested in all sorts of cinema, and Gregory's Girl, man, I will go back and watch it now. I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm just maybe alluding to it's a wee bit overrated.
I thought it was all right. Mm-hmm. And that's the in-depth analysis you're getting from me on it. It was all right.
Okay.
Aye, it was all right.
I'm going to tell you something, Stephen, and I think this will change your tune, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know who says it's one of the greatest movies of all time?
De Niro.
Martin Scorsese.
Scorsese. See, it's not often I'm going to disagree with wee Marty. I mean, it's kind of...
DMS, yes.
I'll get him on. I'll get wee Marty on and we'll discuss it more, right? But I've done Panto, quite a lot of Pantos with
Martin Scorsese.
No, we pass.
That'd have been fast.
Oh, no. The wee guy, the wee window cleaner, and Dougie Sanakin, his name is. Right. The window cleaner, yeah. Gregory's Girl. So he'll probably call me a absolute little rat, because I remember every time he spoke, love it, mate. He's a great movie. Because I didn't know about Artie's feelings, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't a big fan. But I don't know. Scottish movies, greatest Scottish movies of all time. In my opinion, it comes nowhere near it.
I wouldn't put it up there, no. Mm-mm. I would not.
I think you're wrong, but listen, we're all entitled to our opinions. Mm-hmm. There's loads of other really, really popular Scottish films. I pulled a few of them out. It's interesting to kind of hear your thoughts on them. First one that comes to mind, Trainspotting. What's your thoughts on that
number
one, Jack?
I think.
Yes.
I think that's number one, yeah. Straight up, absolutely brilliant. The soundtrack, everything just the way it opens up, run through the streets, and the... Let's be honest, the sort of sheer, raw sort of, this is what fucking life can be like for junkies, man. Couple years after it came out. I think it came out about 95, maybe. Something like that. Anyway, absolutely, that's my favourite Scottish film, for sure.
I would go as far to say... Maybe, like, we're talking about 1984 earlier on, and talking about Pulp Fiction, how stylish Pulp Fiction was, the soundtrack, the writing. I would go as far to say Trainspotting is in that same kind of league. I think it was kind of groundbreaking for Scottish cinema,
mm-hmm.
where something this, like Jack saying, raw, right in your face, that Iggy Pop playing right away, running down the street, seeing folk actually taking... injecting heroin and all that stuff. It's just, for me, it was like when I was a wee guy at school and I seen that, I was like it was an old Jamie moment. Like Jack goes, old Jamie. Do you know what I mean? I was like, holy fuck, do you know what I mean? Watching this going, this is absolute, for me, it's Scottish Pulp Fiction. You know what I mean?
Colin, what are you, mate?
I get that. I love it. It's a great film. It's a fantastic film. I'm a big fan of it. It's not as good as Gregory's Girl, but it's up there, and it's probably, I get why why people prefer it, though. It's probably got a little bit more to it than Gregory's Girl does, but it doesn't make me as happy.
A little bit more, aye, just.
It's just a little bit more happening. Another one from...
Quick, Just quick question first. I've got a quick quiz for you before we go on to the next one. Trainspotting was the feature film debut of somebody, but it was also their only ever movie appearance. Do you know who it was?
There's no good. The short answer from me is no, but...
This is going to annoy me now.
She was in one film?
They were only in one film, and they were part of probably one of the... a very prominent scene in this film.
Oh, for God. Oh, dead air's no good, and I'm trying to fill it with my frustration.
That noise is worse.
I don't know. I give in.
Okay. Dale Winton.
Dale Winton! I was just about to say Dale Winton!
Aye, sure you are.
I swear my kid's life, as soon as you went, okay, I thought it was going to be some stupid fucking Dale Winton in the Terry. That's a great fucking me, but a trivia like that. Right,
what's the next one?
To be. I like Small Faces. Small Faces for me is a great movie as well.
It's on YouTube. I started watching it the other night. I was speaking to you guys and I turned it on, mate, and I got distracted. Like, this is just society that we live in nowadays where one distraction, that's me fucked on my way somewhere else. So I got about halfway through it and I was enjoying it, and I'm going to go back. I will watch the second half again. I remember watching it as a youngster and just having a bit of, like, the whole Tongja bastard, the fighting, the violence, and the sort of, like, more sort of, I don't know if niche is the right word, but, like, when they're singing in the, like, they're singing and it's just like a party they're having in the house, and the mother,
it's like a kind of New Year party or something, and the American cousins over singing.
Aye, that rings a bell, man. That rings true. And I think, like, when it comes to movies and art and comedy and stuff like that, a lot of the time, if it rings true, if it sparks something in you and mind, you go, I've been there. I've been sitting with your auntie, started singing.
It resonates with you.
And then at the same time, like the surreal bit where, like, you see at the carnival or something, and then there's just an elephant just walking. Like, I don't know if that symbolises something, like a fucking elephant in the room or a change of light or something, because that's just before the big massive fight, and he's just sort of standing there and sort of awe, and then this elephant cuts in, and I totally forgot about that, and it's just a really bizarre twist on it. I will go back and watch the rest of it, but I really did quite enjoy that. You know a few guys that were in it, yeah?
Ian Robertson, Bob Queen still, Gary Sweeney, Laura Fraser, I've met a couple of times. There's been a lot of people in it I've met over the years in it. So I remember Ian was in about the same theatre group as Ian Robertson. Mm-hmm. So I've known Ian since I've been a wee guy. And he'd just finished Small Faces. And I remember he was in the theatre group before I was there, but went away, done Small Faces and stuff, went down to London, studied at Stella Adler and stuff, came up. And then I remember seeing him going, wow, man, like, I've always kind of, it's weird, he plays my big brother in River City now, but years ago he was like a big brother to me. I remember always looking up to him. I mean, I look up to everybody and nail everybody, but it's kind of like I'm gone. Just before any of you said it there, I just get in there with that. But Ian Robertson, when he done that, I mean,
was he the boy in it, Lex?
Lex, he was the main wee guy. Him and Gary Sweeney, I've been good pals with Gary for years as well, also through River City. And
Charlie Sloan, wasn't he?
Aye, put the books in the bag.
Bad bastard in it, man.
It's iconic, man. That scene where they have the big Barney and Gary's walking along the railway. Yes, with the blood going down his face and all that. It's iconic. I think for me, those two movies are the most iconic. They resonate the most with me. Like, that's for me, growing up, Scottish movies for me was Trainspotting and Small Faces.
I thought you might give a shout out for one of your first roles, mate, Boy on Bike.
Rat Catcher.
No, that seems to. I've never seen it, I'll be honest, but it seems quite a popular choice amongst people. Yeah.
It's a really, really good film, man. It's another one of my near misses. Nearly get the main part in that. But I did get offered the main part of James, and then it got changed at the last minute to William Meadie.
Oh, fuck, I'd have been going out with Malky and people. What?
Oh, mate, I was raging, man. I was gutted, man, because... No, it's... I would have been... When was Ratcatcher? Was that 90... 96, 97
about then.
Aye, so I'd have been about 13, 14, aye. No, it was, I didn't get the main, I got the main part then, I didn't get it then, due to the fact it was kind of the 11th hour, where they changed their mind, they still invited me to be there. So that was probably one of the most important experiences in my life,
right,
for what kind of steadied me on the route to being an actor, because they had me there every day, basically as a stand-in for William. So when William was away getting costume and makeup done, I was on set checking shots. So I was getting used to how to work with a camera. This is how you hit your mark. This is how they do like a cross shoot or a two shot or a wide, all that kind of stuff. And just watching like Mandy Matthews, who was one of the main women in it. She was a great actress. Doesn't act anymore, but she was an absolute phenomenal actress. She chucked it though. And Tommy Flanagan. Was just watching the two and just being there every day and just soaking it up and just keeping my mouth shut, my ears open. Do you know what I mean? It was just on a film set for like 2 months, basically. It was phenomenal. Brilliant.
How did that go for, like, was that during the summer? Like, how did that go?
No, I was a pure icon at school, man, for like 5 minutes, man, because I don't know what, I'm away to do a film trip. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then they phone me and says, you've not got the main part, and I'm back at school the next day going, for fuck's sake.
Oh, no.
Oh, I still like it. Time off school, they had like tutors and stuff there, because it was me, William, Michelle, wee James Miller. There was loads of youngins in it, Leanne. So we all had like times when you're there on set. If you were there all day, there was always an hour or two that had to get took out of the filming of the minors, like us, where we had to go and do schoolwork. It was great. It was a brilliant time, man. It was one of the best times of my life. See, like, getting paid for being on a film set, basically hardly doing anything. And then I remember the build up to it when they says, no, we've got a wee part for you, boy on bike. And I remember I took about five guys, man, to lower the saddle because the bike was too big for me. And I thought, I'm no meant to be in this film at all, man.
Get to Halfords and get one of the kiddies' bikes now.
That's what it was like. And then they had to, I only had one line. And my one line was, your dad's a hero. And I'm on the bike, and I'm on the bike, and I'm shite myself because I'm no good on bikes, man. And I remember I had to cut, man, because I said instead of your dad, I said, your man's a hero. And I'm like, cut! It's your dad, it's the dad. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
How can you not be good on a bike? You're a... That's a bit bizarre.
I know, mate. I don't know. I've just never been great in bikes. I don't know why, man. But it was a great experience, man. It's a great film. Lynn Ramsey directed that. She was brilliant. She's been on today stuff like We Need to Talk About Kevin, and she done the Joaquin Phoenix movie as well. What was the name of that? The Joaquin Phoenix movie where he's got to get revenge on for, he's like, got to get the wee lassie back. I can't remember the name of it, but she did that as well. But she's a phenomenal director, man. Brilliant.
You've mentioned a couple of films there that I've not seen, right? Ratcatcher, never seen. Small Faces, I've never seen. So it makes sense to kind of finish off for the episode on another film that I've never seen. And it's probably one of the kind of quintessential Scottish ones. It's Braveheart.
I've got never it seen the sense Braveheart. It's a Hollywood film.
Mm. Yeah, and apparently they've got blue faces, and that wasn't a thing then. And the only thing I know about Braveheart is there's a big battle in it. And if you look in the background of the battle, there's a car driving by.
It's like a van. Aye.
Yeah, a van. They didn't clear the set well enough. But people do say it's a good film. I don't know if I've ever seen it, but thoughts on Braveheart?
I've seen it, and I remember thinking I enjoyed it. It's one of the ones I would probably like to go back and watch because I think it's in the same kind of, don't know, like that Game of Thrones or something, you know what I mean? Big battle scenes and all that. So I would maybe like to go back and watch it. It's been a long, long time since I've seen it. What about you, Jack?
In my sixth year at school, I stayed on until I was 18. I done media studies, higher media studies, as a Mickey Mouse thing to pick, right up. We'll just do that. Double period last time on a Friday, magic. The film that we done for that was Braveheart. So I had to watch that, say, 10, 12 times in a sort of school year. So that will put you off something. And like you mentioned, there's the van you can see in the background. There's a big plastic horse thing. Like, once you notice it, like that horse jumps out there like a barn when he's going on his murder revenge spree. and it's just a big fucking plastic horse. You can see it clear as day. Its legs don't move a fuck all. So when you watch a film over and over and over again in such a short period of time, it does put you off. Saying that, my big brother, I don't know if he's full of shit, right? He said he met Mel Gibson in a pub in Drumchapel once, because supposedly Mel Gibson was ripping about Glasgow, sitting in pubs, trying to pick up the accent, which never worked particularly well for him. Mm-hmm. I think my brother's full of shit, to be perfectly honest with you. But he's adamant to this day he met Mel Gibson in Drumchapel. Whether or not it's true.
That might explain some of Mel Gibson's behaviour in the last couple of years, kicking about pubs in Drumchapel. So there could be something to it, to be fair. No offence to any listeners that happened to drink in pubs in Drumchapel, but fuck me.
I remember seeing it going, it was a bit, do you know what, I'm going to watch it this week, I think, because I've not watched it for a long time. I'm going to watch it. It kind of got my blood pumped a wee bit, certain scenes, but I don't know, I was a wee guy, I'm going to watch it again, man.
No,
sure.
Yeah, it says I'm never revisit it. Ruined by overconsumption as a 17-year-old or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I got a C in higher studies, by the way, so and that sort of led me in the path to here, basically.
Mm-hmm. Time well spent then.
Glad you did. Yes, exactly.
Well, guys, that's us been chatting for about an hour, believe it or not. So it's probably a good place to finish up for this episode. As for episode 2, we've not decided what we're going to do yet, so the floor is open to you. You guys can get in touch on the Twitter. Jack, mm-hmm. you've got the Twitter details there, haven't you?
I kind of forgot them, but I'm pretty sure it's just at what does SMH mean? Is that right?
Yeah, pretty sure that's it, yeah. They can also, there's a contact us button. Is there a contact us button on the website as well?
Yeah, so the website is whatdoessmhmean.com. Go on there. They are... I don't think there is a contact button. I might need to put one on there. There is an email address, and you might have guessed it already. It's whatdoessmhmean@gmail.com. So if you pop any emails, any suggestions, any feedback, any of that sort of stuff, you can email it or get in contact through Twitter. It's probably easier, let's be honest. So up to you guys how you decide to... Some people aren't on Twitter, so the email's there.
Uh-huh.
Excellent, good stuff. Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed myself. Have you enjoyed yourself, Jack?
Yes, lots and lots of fun. Missed out some stuff, but do you know what? Who cares? It was, yeah, lots of fun. don't know how often we're going to be with you. At the moment, we're all pretty busy, you know, Stephen filming us with real full-time jobs. Yes. proper jobs, for sure. So maybe monthly, might, just depending on the time that we've got, we might be recording future episodes at G4 Claims. They've got a studio, so you might get some video snippets from their studio. The sound might get better. We've got plans to maybe try and get a couple of guests, open up his iPhone phone book and stuff like that, and see where it goes from there. But yeah, exciting times ahead.
Definitely. And we'll need to obviously buy some new clobber and stuff if there's going to be in a studio. And I mean, look quite trendy, guys, aren't we? You know what I mean?
Well, that's I look like Billy Connolly would say, I look like a cunt with a head transplant when I try to put trendy gear on, man. It just does not suit me. So I will be something like a clean grey top, and that's it. That is it, man.
I've been working from home for the last year or so. So my wardrobe is pretty much shorts and a t-shirt. So I might
in
try
copious amounts of Yeezys.
I do like a pair of shoes. A couple of pairs of Yeezys and that. But yeah, so things might look a little bit different come the next episode, but it'll be with you at very most in a month's time, maybe earlier, maybe not, but at least in a month's time, we'll be there with episode 2. So guys, thank you very, very much for listening, and we hope you've enjoyed it.
That was a Quite the Thing media production.